Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are Going In Raw.
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. And available wherever fine podcasts are. Be sure to hit that subscribe button, especially on the YouTubes, because they tend to unsubscribe people from time to time.
Yes.
And hit that little bell notification thing so you never miss an episode of Going In Raw. We're also on the Patreon at patreon.com/Steven Larson. We've got 30 some odd people watching the live stream of this right now. They got to see me put on my makeup before the show. And after the show, we have them help us figure out what to eat for lunch.
Yes.
So you can look for $5, the best value tier. You watch 3 live streams every single week and you get to vote on what we have for lunch.
You get to enjoy the show before anybody else, and you get to influence
our dietary,
our nutrition.
Exactly. Whether or not we will take your advice, maybe, maybe
but
not.
I it will be considered. I assure you that.
We'll, I'm sure there will be times when somebody will say something. We'll be like, not a bad idea. Well,
generally speaking, though, since I've completely changed my diet.
Oh, it's so annoying. You
most
are the most annoying person.
I can't eat.
You know what I listened to yesterday on my run? Because we're getting jacked, dude.
Yeah.
This is our thing. Finn Balor and Aleister Black by the end of 2018. I listened to us. I listened to the Going In Raw podcast.
Why?
I just want to listen to our own content. I do this every once in a while. Not a lot.
Yeah.
Usually I listen to good podcasts.
Yeah.
Want to listen to our own stuff. It's a pretty good podcast. We're pretty solid.
It's good to know.
We have good chemistry. Anyways, we're also at prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw. 14 designs by Sunday.
14?
Yeah, because I'm gonna do the friendos one.
Yeah,
I'm gonna do this traditional one. We got our sales report for that shirt, and it's like $4 because like 8 people bought the shirt. We get no money for that shirt. So on Pro Wrestling Tees, we get lots of money for it.
We have to take the pictures of my head today.
Live on air. We'll do that right now.
Okay.
Let's just do it now. Also, to keep in mind, this Sunday, we're going to be live streaming our react. Give me disgruntled.
That's more angry.
Be annoyed with me, like your normal face. But like you're in a headlock. I needed some reference for the cover of the comic.
Okay, annoyed, but also
I'm trying to
uncomfortable.
I'm trying to too-sweet you while you're in a headlock. And put your eyes over that way. Grit your teeth. Is that your poop face?
No.
So this Sunday, youtube.com/Steven Larson, we're going to be watching Money in the Bank, and you can be watching us as you watch it on your own TV.
But at no point will you be able to watch the actual pay-per-view on our stream.
We're not doing that. We're not showing you guys. That's we're not the WWE Network. I know sometimes that can be confusing to people.
Money in the Bank for free.
Yeah, we talk a lot about the WWE.
Trial subscription.
We are not the WWE Network. Anyways, let's talk about, speaking of the WWE Network, we got 2 shows we're going to talk about today exclusively on the WWE Network, although I think 205 Live might be on Hulu. I could be wrong about that.
NXT is, or was.
Oh, maybe NXT is the thing that's on Hulu. Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
Anyways, let's talk about 205 Live first.
Fun show.
Well, first of all, big news, and 205 Live cracked the top 10. They're number 10. That's a massive, 50% jump.
Huge improvement.
Yeah, huge improvement. I'm very impressive. That's on the heels of last week's, or that's because of last week's Neville versus TJP match.
Yeah.
It is surprising to me that it can jump so drastically based on evidently that. Because Akira Tozawa, Brian Kendrick was a very long-running feud,
and that blow-off
didn't move numbers.
I don't remember that feud getting a ton of time on Raw, though.
Yeah, that's true.
because 2 or 3 weeks ago it was 20 or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Oh, where was the episode that Sasha was on? Where that rank?
Like, what was that, like 18?
Oh, okay.
It was not... It
wasn't a huge jump.
It wasn't a huge jump.
Okay.
I want to see. Yeah, I think it was 18. It was not a huge jump at all. Right. So I thought all right. I honestly thought I was dead in the water. I'm kind of torn on that because you and I, like, we're both of the opinion that it desperately needs a change away from the way they shoot it.
Yes.
After SmackDown, the crowd is dead. This, you know, the main event for this one. What was the main event for this?
It was,
Akira Tozawa versus TJP. Fantastic match. A fantastic wrestling match. There was a really, really cool story being told with TJP.
Yeah.
And there was at least one guy trying to start a CM Punk chant.
Oh, I know.
Crowd started chanting Corey Graves at one point. Even Corey Graves, this was kind of interesting. I didn't watch it, but I read about it after the fact. Mentioned on Bring It to the Table that 205 Live could be the best wrestling hour on television if they let the guys do what they want, what they can do. If they did that, but the biggest thing is the crowd is filming it in its own venue on its own.
I feel like this is how we preface every episode.
I know this show is.
And I'm not complaining about it. I'm just saying it's because it's such a chronic and obvious issue.
Right. The only reason I'm sort of beating a dead horse at this point is because the ratings jumped.
Yeah.
And on one hand, I'm very glad that the ratings jumped. On the other hand, I mentioned this off camera. This show could be number two to NXT's number one.
Yeah.
And I don't want them to think, oh, well, these Band-Aids that we're putting on, these are fixing the issue. And hell, I mean, if it ends up if adding more, if integrating more of their Raw storyline and having their blow up on 205 Live and adding stuff like Titus O'Neil and other like Raw trickle down, I guess, if you want to call it, if that brings it up to the number three spot, then fine. They did their job. Mission accomplished. Yeah. It's still not going to be what it should be.
Yeah.
But they did their job. I don't want to see it fail. I want it to perform at a level such that they'll fix it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, when the show first started, we were really getting on creative about letting talents wrestle, you know, how they would usually wrestle.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And it seems bit by bit, week by week, month by month, that complaint has been less common because they've been letting them, for the most part, not totally, wrestle their styles.
They've been letting them...
do more
within they've been letting them do more, but just like the graph that you love that I drew up of Dean's potential versus his ceiling and then Bray's potential versus his ceiling, I think that what they've allowed them to do
it's still not
is so small
yeah.
compared to what we could be getting. So I think that that's, you know, we try to find the positives where we can.
Last week the TJP Neville match was the first match I can think of that's aired on 205 Live that can compete with the best matches from the Cruiserweight Classic.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
Been the only one.
Yeah, no, I agree with that totally. I thought Tozawa, Brian Kendrick.
Yeah.
But then you have the table there, and the table is kind of a big spot.
Yeah.
It was a really good match. It had like a really, really long buildup. But in terms of like just the match in a vacuum, you're right. It's that. But anyways, let's start at the beginning. Akira Tozawa was in the locker room. Titus O'Neil shows up and he starts singing it's raining yen as opposed to raining men, talking about the earnings potential of Akira Tozawa should he sign with Titus. I love Titus in this episode. The final segment with Titus was fantastic.
Titus says he used his influence to make a match tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Akira Tozawa versus TJP, your main event for the evening.
Right.
So after that we go to the arena. No pyro, no fireworks, cutting costs, I guess.
And then also
no Tom Phillips.
Yeah, they got Vic Joseph now.
He was on a main event. I guess he did a House of Hardcore.
Yeah, that's right.
I read Tommy Dreamer's promotion.
I thought he was solid. He stayed out of the way. Like, it's a bummer that we're not going to get the... Now we have no Corey Graves, Tom Phillips duo.
I did like Vic Joseph, that he'll call the action, but also he'll ask Corey Graves questions.
He defers to Corey a lot.
Yeah,
I know. I like that a lot too.
He gets his input, not just
that.
You know, two people kind of talking at the same time.
Yeah,
but there's a lot of back and forth.
Because Corey's really good at that.
Yes.
He's really good at sort of illustrating stories.
Yeah,
yeah. No, he's really good at that. I like that.
So that I liked.
And they've, I mean, they, and off the bat, they have a decent chemistry. Mm-hmm. The Vic Joseph guy, he seems like he can, he has like easy chemistry.
Yeah.
He seems like easy, you know. So I doubt it's a lot of work for that. There were some like weird moments on NXT that we're going to talk about on commentary. Nigel McGuinness needs to like tone down the trying to be an overt heel sometimes because it just doesn't work. We'll talk about that later. Anyways, we kicked off with Cedric Alexander versus Aria Daivari. And this again was playing more into the Alicia Fox Noam Dar.
Yeah, I mean, I thought thing. This was over.
I don't know. Sometimes I get like the hang up. So
is,
this is, the
is
thing.
That
the,
is that a symbolic action?
Was that the blow off? Was hanging up on Alicia Fox the blow off?
Maybe
it felt like they were acting like it's a blow off, but I don't think it is.
Well, I hope it is.
Yeah, me too. But I also think that they're just sort of biding their time with Cedric Alexander.
Yeah, I think so too.
Till probably Brian Kendrick, I would think maybe Brian Kendrick. But anyways, I mean, it was a fine match. It was a decent enough match. Noam Dar, like, you know, right before the finish, starts walking to ringside. He's got Alicia Fox on FaceTime, which is a funny visual.
Yeah, it is.
Like, her up on the screen on the Titantron is a funny visual, and she is really funny. Anyways, Cedric knocks Noam Dar off the apron. Daivari tried to take advantage of that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't work. Cedric hits the lumbar check for the win.
Yeah.
And then Dar, his phone got left in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Cedric picked it up. And was acting like he couldn't hear Alicia Fox and then hung up on her.
Yeah, after kind of a big buildup, he hung up on her and everybody cheered. That was like the big thing. I don't know. I'm decent. I mean, I know they're trying to get the crowd into it with some comedy, I guess. But, you know, I think it's dead in the water.
Mm-hmm.
Austin Aries came down to a good reaction. Of course, a lot of questions about him after he, you know.
Lost.
After he tapped out pretty
quickly
to Neville. You know what's funny though is when they played that from a different angle, it looked better.
Yeah.
That there were two things. When he did the suicide dive that he didn't hit,
yeah.
They the replay on that looked better because they went wide on showing Neville ducking out of the way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that direction was better. And then when they went behind them to look at the tap out, Austin Aries was He looked like he was putting in a little bit more work on the acting front. Maybe the front
yeah, because the shot we got during the telecast was more or less kind of the back of Austin's head.
Yeah,
you
can
see him nod.
Yeah,
and he taps.
Yeah, yeah.
It's an odd choice.
Yeah.
Anyways, he said based on various injuries that he's not medically cleared to compete yet. So apparently he's taking a break.
Do we know if this is storyline or real? Is
he? I don't know.
I think he might be taking a break because I know he's got that book out. Maybe he's going to go promote the book.
Could be.
I don't know. But I haven't heard anything about like any real actual injuries. But anyways, so he started talking about taking a break and then he was interrupted by Tony Nese, and you had brought this up to me about his entrance attire.
It's not good.
No, it's not. But I see the point of it. It's to illustrate how great his abs are.
No, I know.
Which, come on, you have to appreciate that aspect.
Yeah, but it's not.
Like, it'd be cool if it was a straight up vest, but then just like a window, like a clear window.
Or
right
just have, you know, like abs on the vest.
Well, no, because no abs that he can draw in there are going to be better than his abs. He literally has the best abs ever.
They're pretty good.
His abs, well, fins are probably better. Fins look like they're chiseled from stone.
Yeah.
Tony Nese's are very good.
They're very good.
Yeah, they are good abs.
But the vest, as designed, is not good.
No, I agree with that. It's hilariously bad. He comes out. I kind of want to just see, I want to fast forward Tony Nese to about 10 years from now, because I feel like he's completely mismatched. Like, it was just, you know, Austin Aries, who's an absolute pro, one of the best talkers on mm-hmm. the mic, and so comfortable in front of a crowd, so comfortable on the mic. He can stutter and get his way out of it and laugh it off. Tony Nese is still too green to be comfortable in front of a crowd.
Yeah.
I mean, he does what he can.
Yeah.
It's just some guys at that age, you know, you need 10 years of being a vet before it's really going to work.
He's improved.
No, he has. He absolutely has. I'm not dogging him. I'm just saying, like, I really like Tony Nese. I just really want to see him after he's, like, the man on the mic, you know?
Yeah.
And I think he can get there. It's just going to take a really long time.
Yeah, he needs more practice.
Anyways, he's about to lay out Austin Aries after Austin Aries he had it pretty good. He said, number one, he said, last time we were in the ring, you were tapping out to the last chancery. He said, what did he say? He said something like, what work? He said, you look great. Those abs are amazing. Now, what workout are you doing to grow a pair?
Yeah.
he's like holding air balls in his hand
to suddenly grow up here. I know
and
good.
Austin thought it was funny. Yeah. That's always when it's good. So anyways, Tony Nese takes exception to that. He's about to throw down with Austin. Austin starts taking his vest off because he's going to throw down.
Yeah.
Jack Gallagher comes down, talks some crap to Tony Nese, and then destroys him with his umbrella.
Yeah. And then Jack Gallagher and Austin Aries shake hands.
They shake hands and they bump umbrella to banana.
Yeah.
It was cute. So it looks like we're getting Jack Gallagher versus Tony Nese. That's good.
Yep, that's happening next week.
Nice. Next up, we had TJP backstage.
Great.
I like this a lot.
This was fantastic.
Rich Swann sort of addressing the angel and the devil on TJP's shoulders.
Setting up the main event, which continued that story.
Right, exactly. So it's, you know, we're sort of at a point with TJP, and it makes me wonder where the writers are going to go with this, if they have a solid plan or if they're just playing this by ear. But, you know, Rich Swann essentially saying you've been taking the easy way out. Basically, you've been a bad guy. You need to go back to being a good guy.
Yeah, he says, you know, how you've been wrestling. That's essentially that's TJP. You need to go back to being TJ Perkins.
Right, exactly. And Rich Swann was really, really good.
Yeah, he was.
He was fantastic. Yeah, there was no trying to be cutesy with like quips or anything like that. It was a real heart to heart.
Yeah.
I would love to have a heart to heart from Rich Swann.
Yeah.
He comes up to me, hey, Steve. You're doing really good. I'm going to go talk to that pile of crap Larson over there.
Whoa,
Richard. Bring it down a notch. I know Larson's not like, you know, at the Steve level, but he's doing his thing. It's okay.
At the Larson level, that's pretty good.
It is a good level, buddy. Let's see here. Next, we had a Mustafa Ali video package, which was interrupted by a Drew Gulak promo.
Yeah.
It was great.
It was pretty funny.
Have you seen Drew Gulak's Twitter avatar? His
no.
Image? It's him holding a baby with a, no, but like a political
yeah,
thing.
Yeah,
you know?
No, I got that.
He's
yeah.
like in the suit. He's got the tree in the background. I love Drew Gulak
oh, that's
so much.
Funny.
I love him.
I like this feud. It's a good feud.
No, this is good stuff. This is all that happened between these two.
Yeah, yeah.
This is
yeah.
all we needed, though, this week. This is good because you can't do everything every week.
Exactly.
Oh, here it is. Hold on. I'm going to get to it. Oh, it's the WWE flag behind him. Look at that.
Wow.
That's fantastic. That's so
pretty
good.
Funny.
He's all in on that, dude.
So that brings us to our main event, Akira Tozawa versus TJP. There was this great story in this match where TJP started out trying to be TJ Perkins. There was this moment where they were going back and forth, and at the end of which they shook hands.
Yeah,
sportsmanship.
Yeah.
And then as...
He was fighting the dark side because yes. there was that, and then there was the moment where, you know, the ref has you back off, and these days everybody either does something villainous or they, you know, back up or they taunt them, and he had to like it was all over his face. It was good. It was a good performance. He backed off and he didn't do it. He didn't go there.
But then by the end of the match, he was TJP again.
Yeah, totally.
He wasn't quite taking shortcuts per se, but he was doing moves like the stomp on the face and stuff
here's,
like that,
here's
that
my
he wasn't
only,
necessarily doing as TJ Perkins.
Here's my only thing about this, though. He needed to be vindicated. He needed vindication for being a heel. And he lost here. And I feel like if they had done this with somebody who can eat a loss, because Tozawa is not going to eat a loss now. He's rocketing to the moon.
Yes.
This would have worked better, I feel, to further, you know, he wants to be good.
Yeah.
But he understands being bad has helped him more.
Oh, yeah, I understand that.
And he, so in, you know, in that respect, he needs to have won this because next week he can go back to like Rich Swann or that line of thought and say, no, this works for me.
Or if he's going to lose and they want to continue with TJP, mm-hmm. you know, have them kind of, during the match, revert to being TJP, and then towards the end, have a sort of an epiphany. It's like, no, I got to do this the right way, and
yeah.
end up losing.
And then, exactly, yeah.
And maybe that was the case, and it was really subtle, and I didn't catch it.
Oh, that could be. Because I didn't, was there anything overtly heel that he did towards the end? I don't recall.
No, it was just more stylistically how he wrestled.
Right.
Some of the
right,
moves
right.
that
yeah,
he
yeah.
used
bit more
exclusively
bit
with
more, yeah,
the TJP
yeah.
character versus the TJ Perkins one.
Gotcha. Well, we'll find out next week if that was the intention.
Yeah. Akira Tozawa picked up the win with a top rope senton.
I love that, man. Looks like it hurts.
Yeah. I kind of missed the snap German suplex, though.
Oh, I know. I like that, too. I like that a lot. Backstage, we saw Titus, who earlier had been, we had seen him backstage. Neville shows up, and he says, you know, you need to watch yourself, you know, getting these thoughts in Akira Tozawa's head. That he could beat me. He says, the cure is not at the Neville level. And Titus got serious.
I know.
He got serious with him and it said, the guy that I'm looking at on the monitor right there, that's the future of 205 Live. And he stomps off.
It was great.
It was really, really.
It was great.
It's not like gender right now.
The Maharaja.
I thought that it was a really, really effective way to end 205 Live. And I love that Titus, I like Titus, they're going to take Titus Brand kind of seriously.
I know.
I love that. That's
I
good.
Do too.
That's what they should do.
I know.
Yeah, that's good stuff, man.
It'd be great when you start having
it's crazy, like,
press conferences and there'd be more than one person there.
I know. Like the Titus Brand thing, which they've been trying to, you know, very half-heartedly. Like I feel like only Titus has been trying to get this off the ground.
I know.
But now they're going to kind of run with it. And I'm glad he didn't get punished for that stupid picture.
Oh, I know.
You know, that's heartening to see.
I know.
Just don't touch Vince McMahon's arm and you're fine. No hugs. And then Neville was left stewing at the end of 205 Live. So another strong episode.
Yeah, it was really enjoyable.
Yeah. Let's move on to NXT, favorite hour of wrestling.
Show kicked off with Drew McIntyre taking on Rob Rizin.
He was the guy. Oh, no, I'm thinking of Ty Dillinger. I always forget. I can't differentiate between Jobber and Ty Dillinger anymore, dude.
Well, I would say this. Jobber is on TV more often.
Oh! I thought you were going to be against me, and then you're with me.
I it's the truth. Ty's not on TV at all, and it bums me out.
Yeah, he was. It's on that guy's missing sign.
Oh, it's true. He was in this morning I woke up, and I was going through Twitter, and there's a sale at WWE Shop. And they're using a promo still of 5.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. It's a 5,
this,
10.
This, yeah, this sale's a perfect 10.
Yeah.
Like, wow, that's the most time he's gotten a WWE outlet in months.
Ty. People are going to pop for him big, though. Maybe this is intentional.
I would like to hope so, but I don't
think
that's gonna
the case. They're going to pop for him so hardcore when he's like the mystery opponent in Money in the Bank, and then he's going to win it and cash in that night.
That'd be great.
The new WWE champion.
Not going to happen, though.
No, it's not going to happen.
Drew McIntyre beat Rob Rizin pretty easily.
I like the Claymore
kick.
That Rob Rizin. Oh, by the way, Claymore is not just a mine. It is, in fact, a sword.
Yeah.
I got a lot of that on my Twitter.
Yeah,
I was like,
too.
Claymore is bomb because I learned that from Call of Duty.
Yeah.
Which is true.
It is.
Factually speaking, that's true. But it gets its name from a sword from, I guess, Scottish. The culturally speaking, I have no idea.
I don't know either.
Anyways, I know it's a sort of some. Thank you, Twitter.
Yes,
all you friendos out there, quick to Steve doesn't know where it is. My favorite is when we say something here on the podcast, and then I correct myself within minutes.
Oh, I know.
But as soon as I misspeak,
I know. They but they don't Twitter, go back and
I'm like, you were probably busy on Twitter correcting me as I was correcting myself.
Yep.
Anyways. I like this Rob Rizin character because he got his, he wouldn't, hey, you know, I'll give him this much. Until the end, he was talking crap to Drew. He would not let Drew get him down.
Yep.
But then physically he did.
Oh,
because
yes.
Drew kicked him with that massive leg of his.
Yes.
Drew is a stunning man, Larson.
He really is.
He's like, in terms of like, oh, by the end of 2018, we'll never achieve that.
2020.
That's... I don't know, man.
It's 2.5 years.
I think he is literally out of our league.
But I have to grow 7 inches.
You have to grow a lot. I mean, I have to grow probably 3. What do you think he is, 6'3", 6'4"?
They say he's 6'6".
Man, he's a massive. I have to grow 6 entire inches.
Mm-hmm.
Wowie wow. That's ridiculous.
And then probably put on, I'll have to put on like 100 pounds of muscle.
Yeah. Oh, beautiful man.
But scaled down to my 5'11 frame.
Couple of good chops.
Yeah.
This match. A couple of good chops.
So you don't want to do chops as punishment for Money in the Bank?
No, I don't want to do chops. We're old. What are you doing?
I'll do it.
I don't want to do chops.
I'll do it.
I don't want to do it for you because I would murder you.
No, you wouldn't.
You're not doing much with
You'd
that.
You'd be surprised.
What do you practice at home on a punching bag? What do? On some meat?
Yeah.
You hang some meat like Rocky?
I got a turkey that I didn't use for Thanksgiving.
You're a turkey.
I'm in the backyard and I'm just doing overhand chops on it.
Get out of here. I would love to see a video of that. Can we? How about this? Loser. We need to do that one day. We need to get back to skits, man. I watched the 10 for the win Xbox One skit. That was good stuff. Anyways. We got an Aleister Black video package. You know, hearing his voice makes me really want them to do more with his voice because he has such a great, I don't know. He's got a great voice. He's got a great dramatic voice.
He really does.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to really project either.
No, man. It's just him.
Yep.
It's just him.
It's very good. Next, Authors of Pain versus Anthony Dominguez and Wilmer Frade?
I'm almost positive you made these names up.
No, I got it from WWE.com.
This is not Kayfabe Corner.
I got them from WWE.com.
Really?
Anthony Dominguez.
Wilmer Frade?
Wilmer Frade.
Frade. What day is it? It's Thursday.
It's Thursday.
No, I thought it was Frade. Yeah, anyways, this was great.
Yeah, because Akam won the match by himself.
The other, so Paul Ellering. Oh, by the way, I was listening to the Ross Report.
Yeah.
JR's podcast, and he had Paul Ellering there as a guest. And he literally, legitimately sounds like a grandpa that you would love to have because he's so kind and he's so gentle sounding. But then seeing him out there,
I know.
Oh, it's so great. We've destroyed everybody.
Oh, it's fantastic.
And he starts running down. But anyways, but no. So yeah, Ellering and
Razor
were on the outside of the ring, were on the floor. And they were milling about. They were literally just engaged in conversation. The great thing is that the commentators...
I wonder if Ellering was going over their itinerary for the next week.
That could be. I think
because
he's a legit manager.
Yeah, he was the Road Warriors' legitimate manager.
Like, that's a real thing. That's hilarious. So that could be. I hope it is. But I like that the commentators were saying they're not even going over strategy right now. They're just having, like, a conversation.
Yeah.
And if you look at the looks on their faces... They look like they're out of character because Paul Ellering's kind of smiling a bit and Akam sort of, or wait, which one was it?
Razor.
Razor was outside the ring. Okay. He's sort of like into it. Meanwhile, in the ring is mass murder. It's Akam just destroying Wilmer and Anthony.
Yeah.
Just murdering both of them.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. He ends up going over.
Yeah, he went with like this pump handle attitude adjustment.
Yeah, it was cool. It was a good looking move.
Yeah, it was pretty neat.
Yeah, it was solid.
After that, Razor gets in the ring, super collider, and then Ellering gets in, drops a promo, kind of calls out Heavy Machinery.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Heavy Machinery come out, stare down. Guess that's the match at TakeOver.
Man.
They still have, what month is it? They have 2 months to build up Heavy Machinery as believable opponents.
They have a long way to go. I don't know.
It seems too soon.
It seems too soon, man. They need to be... They need to be built up more as the lovable duo that the crowd's into.
I know.
And then Authors of Pain need to like destroy them, crush their dreams, crush their hopes, and then have Heavy Machinery come back from that.
And then add complexity to their characters.
I mean, maybe look, if they're looking to do this over the next year or over the next 6 months, which I doubt, maybe six months.
You know, maybe they have a match at TakeOver in Brooklyn. Heavy Machinery gets beat, and then they kind of have to, as you mentioned, kind of rebuild themselves, and then the next TakeOver in November in Houston for Survivor Series, then maybe.
Yeah.
That's 3 months.
Because the other, Tucker Knight, is that his name?
Mm-hmm.
He is too, sort of the Bollywood Boys thing. His face is too kind. He has a very kind-looking face. The other dude just looks like a cartoonish hoss, and it's great. I mean, I think I like Heavy Machinery. It's just the Authors of Pain are so good, and they're so legitimate, and they're so awesome. And they have Paul Ellering on top of that saying, dropping some of the greatest promos because he sounds like a Shakespeare character.
Yep.
Like he really does. It's fantastic.
It's great.
So anyways, yeah, they have a long way to go. I really love this next thing, Sonya Deville's video package. I thought her talking to the camera saying, you know, basically she's a badass.
Yeah.
I thought was very effective.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really looking forward to seeing how far they push her
because
I hope as far.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. I like her a lot. Next up, we had the Velveteen Dream versus Raul Mendoza.
Yeah.
I love the Velveteen Dream.
He's great.
I loved the end of this when he looks straight into the camera and he gives us a kiss and then he licks his lips. It's fantastic. And then Nigel says, "There's a kiss for you, Percy." But then at one point, like Nigel said, like Percy said something like, "Forget about the purple. He's going to dole out some black and blue, or he's going to beat you black and blue." Which is a great line.
Yeah.
And then Nigel comes back with something like, "It's purple and blue. It shows you're colorblind and dumb, Percy." And I was like, that was out of nowhere. Like, that's kind of rude. I think Nigel is weakest when he's like trying to be a heel. Like, it's fine to side with the heel and to show that point of view, the devil's advocate, if you will. But like trying to like awkwardly run down your other guy when there's no impetus for it. Like it's not like Todd Phillips and Corey Graves where you know for a fact that they're friends and it's like friendly banter.
Yeah.
You know, like when you and I get mad at each other or I start running you down, like it's not a thing. This I feel like they're too new to do that. It's like, why are you saying that? So I don't know. And the thing is, I love Nigel McGuinness. And I'm really liking Percy Watson these days. Yeah. He's come a long way in a short time.
He really has.
I really like his stuff. Let's see here.
The Velveteen Dream won with a top rope elbow drop.
He gets really high on that thing.
Yeah, he does.
But, you know, I like his work. I think he's good. He does the kiss lips. It's great. He starts laughing. He's good. You can tell that dude is a little off. Like, he's a unique fella. You can tell that there's something going on up there that's a little different than others. And I think it's great. It's probably a creative
dude.
Do you
follow him on Twitter?
Yeah, I do. And he's great.
Yeah.
I mean, the dude came out wearing Trump stuff like before he did this Velveteen Dream. So that's hilarious. That, I mean, it's a guy who wants to push some envelopes. That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. Then we had, I like this Cassius Ohno interview.
I can listen to this guy talk all day.
If for no other reason than I got the phrase, you know, he got beat, but he needs to build a bridge and get over it.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Of course, talking about
Hideo Itami.
Hideo Itami. And then he said, but you know what? I'm here for me. I'm going to prove myself. And so I went to Regal. And next week, I'm going to get murdered by Aleister
Black. Oh, this will be a good match.
This is going to be a fun match.
They were tag team partners in PWG.
Oh.
So this will be good. This will be really good.
This is going to be really good.
This will be Aleister Black's first real test.
Yeah, I know. But he is going to murder him with a black
mask. Yeah. At the end, yes. I kind of wonder, though, what is Chris Hero's role in NXT? Is he jobber to the stars? Is he, at this point, I'm kind of wondering if he's kind of like part-time trainer, part-time wrestler.
Yeah, I don't know. I do not know. Like we've said, he can be placed in any situation and succeed.
Maybe it's a situation now where they have plans for the next 6 to 8 months. And then once those plans, you know, play themselves out, then maybe he'll get into something long-term.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like you said, it all depends on what their actual plans are for him, why they brought him in the first place. You know, a high-profile guy who you know can put on, he can carry great matches.
It's good on the mic, great on the mic.
Great on the mic. He can fulfill any number of roles. You don't need him in a high-profile title situation.
Oh, I know.
You know, the crowd's going to love him no matter what. You give him enough wins to keep him viable to do things like lose to Aleister Black in really good matches.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good for a year. And then, you know, who knows? I guess the sky's the limit. I would think, and this is the cynical part of me that just sort of knows the WWE, that I would think that him and WWE would have gone over.
I would think so, yes.
At least what their sort of idea of what they want from
short-term
him
plan would be.
Excuse
me.
But I wonder if they've said, hey, you know what? Do this stuff. In a year, I wonder if they've addressed the weight thing at all.
I don't know.
Because it looks like he's lost a little bit.
Yeah, maybe.
Whether or not he cares or not, whether or not he's, you know, hey, you know, if I lose weight and you guys want to use me more to a bigger degree, cool. It's not like a huge priority for me.
Yeah.
So whatever you want from me, I'll go ahead and do because I'm happy to be here. It'd be hard to believe that he wouldn't have at least one run with the NXT title.
I know.
Kind of, you know, a little bit. But that's kind of, that's prized territory right now, that title.
Yeah, and there's a lot of talent in the top of the card.
A lot of talent, man. A lot of talent. Then we got an Ember Moon video package. I like this. They showed the last week's thing with the
Iconics
video. I love those girls. They're so great. So, next week I think is we're going to get Ember Moon versus Peyton Royce.
Yeah.
And I love Peyton Royce. She's fantastic.
Oh, she's great.
She's so good. Then we had our main event, which is Asuka versus Ruby Riott versus Nikki Cross. This is interesting.
A triple threat elimination match for the NXT women's title.
And this to me showed why I feel Nikki Cross should be the one to take it off of Asuka. I love Nikki Cross. I think she's fantastic.
Oh, she's great.
And I think that the crazy that went down in this match would be a good story to get that title off of Asuka.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it's going to be the plan.
No.
So anyways, this was, this match. This was like a 20-minute match.
Yeah, they gave it a good amount of time.
And then like the finish, which ran an extra like 5 minutes.
Oh yeah, them brawling backstage.
Yeah, they went a while with that.
Yeah.
So Ruby Riott was the first one. It was an elimination match. She was eliminated after a lot of just sort of clustery stuff going on. So wait, what is this? Oh yeah, that was kind of cool. Nikki Cross hits her spinning neck breaker on Asuka, and then Asuka just rolls out of the ring.
And the whole time Nikki Cross is yelling at her like, "No, no, no, no."
Okay, let me ask you something. Did they mess with some of the shots in this?
What do you mean?
To make them look, maybe I could be completely wrong. There were two shots where Nikki Cross crawled on all fours across the ring.
Yeah.
Maybe it was my internet, but I didn't notice it at any other point.
Did it look sped up?
It looked fast. It looked like when you chop frames.
Yeah.
Or just sped up by like 2%. It looked weirdly fast. It looked oddly fast.
I didn't notice anything.
Okay. All right. Maybe it was just
It'd be interesting for your internet to become choppy at that point.
Exactly at that moment. It looked
and it happened
weirdly,
more than once.
It looked weirdly fast, like in two parts that I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting if they did that stylistically. You know,
it just kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah, because it kind of worked both times I noticed it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it was just me. Maybe it was my internet. But that was kind of interesting. Nikki Cross eliminated Ruby Riott first with a spinning neck breaker. And then Asuka and Nikki Cross decided to go backstage and fight there. The ref declared the match a no contest. And then for another 5 to 7 minutes, they just took it to each other. And they eventually went up to like the production booth.
Yeah, the tech area.
The tech area, and then launched themselves off.
Through a table, through two tables.
Nikki did a crossbody kind of to Asuka.
Yeah. Through a couple tables.
Went through. It was, I loved it.
Yeah.
I thought it was fantastic. I think I don't think Nikki Cross is going to take the belt off of Asuka, but this is a great, great feud in the meantime.
Yes.
This is fantastic in the meantime while you build back up Ember Moon from where she's at, if she's going to be the one to take it off her.
Yes.
So, yeah, that was good.
Yeah, fun shows.
Let's go to questions.
Yes, you're going to have to read them because my laptop battery died. I forgot to plug it in before we started.
All right.
Or we can take a quick break and I can plug it in.
Nemo, the Universal Kidney Punching Champion, says, my question today is, why do you think more wrestlers are using strikes as finishers more than grapple moves? Well, he says more than grapples. Like grapples is in like submission moves, you think he means? Because I know there's a lot of like knees and drop kicks and boots as finishers these days.
I think the reason for that is, one, MMA.
Yeah, that's true.
And two is because they're quicker and can come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I think that's why.
Yeah.
I mean, as much as I love a good powerbomb finisher, watching In Your House and seeing Sid take forever to gently lay his opponent down with a powerbomb, I could understand why a discus five arm would be more exciting.
Right. Dom the Man Hilberg says WrestleMania is 10, 20, and 30 all had main events where a smaller, technical based fan favorite that no one thought would win the big one walks away with the title. Who is doing it at WrestleMania 40?
So 10 would be Brett. 20 was Benoit.
Oh, yeah.
And 30 is Daniel Bryan. So 40. What are we? Next year would be 34.
We have 6 years left.
How old is Kenny Omega? 31, 32?
Yeah, something like that.
He'll be late 30s. That's probably too old.
He's not really all that small.
I mean, compared to Brock Lesnar, he is.
Well, yeah.
I think he's...
Everybody compared to
I think
to Brock
he's about
Lesnar,
6 feet tall and maybe 215 pounds.
Kenny's only 6 feet?
I think so.
He'd be like 6'1".
Maybe 6'1".
In my mind, there's a big difference between 6 feet and 6'1". Oh, he's 6 feet. Wow, he's only 202. Interesting.
So I'm trying to think of somebody that's on the independent ranks right now, but still... Oh, Adam Cole.
Adam Cole? Like, well, I guess, yeah, Chris Benoit, okay.
Adam
Bret Hart, okay.
Adam Cole's 6 foot.
It's going to take 6 years for Adam Cole to win the WWF title?
Yeah, he's going to be in NXT for a couple of years.
A couple of years?
Yeah.
You're crazy. He's not going to be there more than 12 months.
I mean, if he's going to follow Finn Balor formula, he's going to be there for about a couple of years.
a couple. Finn Balor was not there a couple of years.
Close to that. 18 months.
Well, yeah. If you take injuries out of the equation, it was like 12. He was gone for like a couple months for injuries.
Was he?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Remember he rolled his ankle or some shit?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That coup de grace, man. It's not good.
Yeah.
Let's see here.
Adam Cole, that's my answer. You got something better?
Yeah, man. Leo Rush.
Okay.
He's tiny. Let's see here. Larson's personal beard trimmer, Joaquin Cardenas. We're a ways off from Survivor Series, but I've been thinking if there was a WWE versus NXT Survivor Series match, what'd be your dream team for NXT and WWE? Well, I'm going to assume that this is going to be kind of a gimmicky match, so we're not going to have like big main eventers on the WWE side, at least.
Mm-hmm.
Who would be a five-man NXT and a five-man?
This is what I'd want, and I know it runs kind of counter to what you're saying, but I want the WWE team to consist of NXT alumni.
Oh,
so let's do the Revival. That's two. Ty.
He's
three.
Well, I mean, if you don't want a main eventer or somebody who's ever on.
You just said.
Yeah, I know. No, I know. I'm saying that I'm going along my rules here. If you don't want a main eventer,
yes,
then
that's what I'm doing.
Ty is
otherwise,
exactly,
it'd be Finn, Kevin Owens,
Sami Zayn, Shinsuke Nakamura, Samoa Joe.
Well, you can get Seth in there, too.
That'd be great.
Team NXT.
Bobby Roode, yeah. Roderick Strong.
Aleister Black.
Akam and Razor.
Okay, that's good.
Who's betting against that team? Not
I know.
Me. Especially against Ty Dillinger.
Steel City champion Benny Yinzer. Hey, friendos, what are your power rankings for the woman you think will take the title off Asuka?
Oh, good question. Power rankings.
Oh. One, Ember Moon. Two, Nikki Cross. Three, Ruby Riott. Four, Peyton Royce. Five, Sonya Deville.
I'm going to flip Ruby and Nikki Cross. I think people already pop for Ruby Riott. Number one, she has a great theme song.
Yeah, she's really good in the ring,
people
too.
People pop for her off the bat. She's only been around for a very short time. I think that she's, I'll be honest, I think her and Ember Moon are even Steven.
All right.
Right now.
All right.
Nah, it's not true.
Connor, say yeah.
Say yeah.
O'Farrell, can you do a power ranking?
Okay, power ranking. Ooh, power ranking.
Who will get booked strongest on the main roster between the names listed here?
Drew McIntyre, Aleister Black, Roddy Strong, Bobby Roode, and Cassius Ohno. Okay. Those first two names, who's going to be booked stronger on main roster?
If this is... These competitors being brought up today, I would say Bobby, Aleister, Drew, Roderick Strong, and Cassius Ohno.
See, I'd put... I'll be honest, man, and this isn't my own personal bias, but if you look at the matches he's had, side by side, Drew McIntyre versus Jobber and Aleister Black versus Jobber.
I know.
Aleister Black has taken care of those.
That's why I said Aleister is two behind Bobby Roode.
No, I know. And that's not bad. I'm just saying Aleister, he hasn't had any real matches.
Exactly.
Bobby Roode beat Shinsuke Nakamura twice.
Yeah. Again in 3 months, it might change. We might flop Aleister and Bobby Roode.
All right, you win. Who's 4 and 5?
Roddy
and then Cassius, or
yeah.
Cassius then Roddy?
Roddy.
Roddy versus Roddy then Cassius.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
The Nightcrawler. Hey, friendos, do you think WWE and its in-ring product would benefit from giving their matches some time instead of just having 2 to 5 minutes for most matches that aren't the main event?
Well, I don't think that's... I kind of disagree with the premise. Like, SmackDown has a lot of matches that let them breathe.
The 8-man tag match open SmackDown this week was 20 minutes at least.
Yeah.
It was a long match.
I mean, I think that, that's the one thing that I think SmackDown does better than Raw is... Most of their matches, they kind of give them a big match feel. Like, they try their best to really make those matches matter. Whereas Raw, they've got some more throwaway matches happening there. So, I do kind of agree that, they need to make their matches matter more.
Yeah. Cesaro's Jimmy Olsen, Lisandro Carranza. Hey, Steven Larson. So, I finally got around to seeing Best of the Super Junior Final between Kushida and Will Ospreay. Still need to watch that. And it got me around thinking how good some matches with the cruiserweights would be. So I want you guys to book a super pay-per-view between the New Japan Juniors and the WWE Cruiserweights. Give it a title. Book 2 singles dream matches, 3 championship matches. for junior heavyweight tag team titles, cruiserweight title, and junior heavyweight title. So five matches.
What are we going to call it first? What's the title? The super needs to be in it.
Yes.
Super. I feel like world has to be in it too.
Best.
Best of the
world's best of the super.
No, wait, no. You got it wrong.
What?
Best of the super. Best of the world's super juniors.
Live.
Best of the world's super juniors live.
Dream matches.
Oh, man, dream matches. Okay, who's Neville going to fight?
Ricochet.
No, man, give me Neville versus Kushida.
Okay.
Ricochet should fight
Finn Balor. He was a junior in Japan.
Yeah, but he's not going to be part of this. 205 Live roster. Come on, give them props. This is a 205 Live recap. Ricochet, although I'd love to see Ricochet versus Finn Balor. Ricochet versus, who's like the most athletic guy? Who's the, like the fastest guy? I'd say Ricochet versus TJP. I'll take that match.
That'd be good. They probably have wrestled before.
I imagine they have, probably a lot.
Will Ospreay versus Cedric Alexander.
Man, Will Ospreay's so good.
Yeah, he is.
Oh, yeah, versus Cedric. That's a good one.
So you get Kushida against Neville.
Yeah.
Title versus title.
Yeah.
And so we need junior heavyweight tag champs for the Young Bucks.
Oh.
Versus Tozawa.
Oh.
And who should his partner be?
Grand Metalik.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I heard good things about Grand Metalik.
He was really good in the classic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He just hasn't been on TV very much.
Let them do what they can do.
Yes, please. Evil Steve, hey friendos. Ono and Black should be a great clash of former tag team partners. That match announcement put me in the mindset to ask this. What other clash of former tag partners were you most excited for?
Hogan versus Randy Savage.
That's good. That's a good answer.
I know, but I wasn't watching back then, so it's kind of a lie. I like the Triple H Shawn Michaels rivalry back in the day. That was like a freaking epic one.
Trying to think of a more recent thing.
Enzo versus Cass.
Yeah, that's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
Going to happen.
Undertaker versus Kane.
That happened a lot.
Shawn Michaels versus Marty Jannetty.
Hamza Hilal, do you remember how a couple months ago we all hated on the fashion police and called them jobbers, and just like that, they've turned them around, and now they're the hottest act on SmackDown. Do you think wrestling fans should stay quiet and just trust in Vince and WWE creative to give us a good product?
Shut up, everybody. Shut your mouths. I know what I'm doing.
Hey, we've been on the fashion police.
Yeah, you can't say we were not hating on the fashion police. We
were like
was,
their lone fans, I felt
we,
like, for
we
a while.
We just thought it was... We thought the scenario where Vince would call in Tyler Breeze and Fandango...
You're the fashion police!
And he's like, I've got a new serious angle for you two. I think it'll go over great.
You're fashion police!
But also, we both... Especially Chet Chitterfield.
Oh, yeah.
And Tyler Breeze. We love both the banker and Chet Chitterfield.
Especially after the Southpaw Wrestling thing came out. Looking like a million bucks sombrero. Looks like a million bucks. He said, just want to know where your intro came from. It's so synonymous with you in my brain, and I wondered about its origins. Cheers, friendos.
It just started when we were doing 10 for 1, I think like the fourth or fifth episode. We did that, and then we just started doing it from there on out.
Was it the fourth or fifth episode?
It wasn't the first.
It was like the second. No, I know it was in the first. I thought it was like the
I think
the
it took a couple.
It took a couple, really? Because I remember the first one. Like, I was using, I don't know. It was weird. But I swear, like, as of the second one, I thought we only did one where it was, like, not what we usually do.
I don't know. I feel like it took more than two for us to really.
What was the second 10? The first one we did was, of course, Alien versus Predator.
I don't remember what the second one was.
Really? No. It wasn't the.
It might have been the. Was it the
Battlefield Bad Company ones?
Might have been.
Or was that just the most memorable, and that was like the fifth one?
Could be.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'd have to look into it.
Man.
We've done a lot of those. I'm not a historian on 10 for the Win for some reason.
Yeah, no, we just started doing it. It just sounded right, so we did it. And then we made a joke about it.
Yep.
Let's see here. Oh, man, this is eight upvotes here. Mayor of Millville, Ryan Linkus. Why recently have referees been interfering so much with matches that are supposed to be no DQ? The triple threat match between Asuka, Riott, and Cross, wasn't it? Really? That was a no DQ match?
Yeah, triple threat matches are no DQ.
Why the hell did that guy not go to the back with him then?
Because it wasn't false count anywhere.
Makes sense. Why couldn't he have just like assumed they were eventually going to get back to the ring?
I don't know.
I mean, they didn't.
I mean, he could have tried.
He was prescient.
He could have tried.
He could have tried to corral them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or get, you
heard
know,
them?
Other referees to help get them back towards the ringside area.
He continues. The triple threat between Oscar Ryan and Cross was no DQ. So why was the ref calling for rope breaks, counting the five, and then ultimately ruining the match by calling it a no contest when they went out into the arena? I would say that NXT is developmental, and that is across the board, including their refs. So this particular ref, a lot of rules to know on the WWE.
Yes.
So maybe that particular ref. No, I don't know. I mean, the obvious answer is they do it for storyline reasons.
Yeah.
They do it for storyline purposes. This got so out of hand that the refs had to call it.
I'm guessing the ref was told backstage when to call for the bell.
Yeah, I would think so. So that's like the real reason, but I think it's just a storyline reason. But yeah, I know. I mean, that is, you know, it speaks to a greater premise that, you know, it's WWE. One of the consistencies is that they're not always consistent with how the rules of their universe
are applied. Yeah. Exactly. Even though they just put out a rule book.
Yeah.
Nicholas Grosskirth. After watching NXT this week, what are the chances Asuka and Cross have a stipulation? Does a non-traditional match favor Nikki?
I would think so. Although I think this week was to illustrate that Asuka can get crazy too.
Yeah.
That she's willing to go to the ends of the earth and back.
Yes, to keep her belt.
Exactly. And I thought it was effective.
Yeah. Yeah, but I wouldn't be surprised if there's some sort of false count anywhere match.
Javier Cruz. First time question. I was watching New Japan on Axis and watching Ibushi match, and loved his moveset, including the mist. So, hey, boy, did you see how much Kushida just got murdered with mist at Dominion? Boy, that was great.
I know.
So much mist. He says, including the mist, talking about Ibushi here. So who do you think can be like Ibushi with the disrespectful attitude and moveset, either in 205 Live or NXT? I think any number of competitors can be.
Yeah.
If they just let them do their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I know.
One more question.
It is kind of, I mean, one of the points here about Bushi, though, is kind of interesting. I've always kind of felt, maybe this is just my bias, maybe this is because I didn't watch a lot of Lucha coming up. I still don't watch a lot of Lucha. I feel like with American crowds anyways, like Grand Metalik, if I'm not mistaken, most of his face is covered by mask. To me, that makes things a bit more difficult for storylines when we're so used to watching the wide range of emotion that can happen on a human face as opposed to a dude in a mask. Bushi does a very good job of projecting his personality even though he's wearing a mask.
Yeah.
He's very good at that. Even though, A, he's wearing a mask, and B, he's not speaking a language that I know.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So Bushi is like a really, really good example of a guy who does get his personality and character across in his ring work and even just in his role as a member of LIJ.
Yes.
So I don't know. That's not an easy thing to do. So I'm not sure I can ascribe that to just anybody.
Yes.
Next.
One last question. Chalupa Batman, with the NXT tag team division kind of running low on talent, what are some tag teams on the indies you'd like to see them bring in for the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic? Chalupa Batman personally loved to see Redragon and the South Pacific Power Trip, both good choices.
Both great choices. I would love to see Two Dragon again.
Mm-hmm.
People on Twitter.
It's Red Dragon. It's Red Dragon. Yeah, we know it's Red Dragon.
We know. Just stop right now. It's Red Dragon. We know. It's funny to say Redragon.
Very much so. Chosen Bros.
Especially because don't they stylize it when it's written as R-E and then dash?
No, as capital R, lowercase e, capital D.
Right. Okay, stylized, but it's still Redragon. That's why we, you know.
Yes, that's what made us think it was Redragon.
Yeah.
Both good choices. Chosen Bros.
Chosen Bros would be maybe my top pick right there. He's getting some sort of a man. It was in the Observer. Riddle. WWN is allowing him, because I guess he was booked for like two matches, and they're letting him work, I think, something that's going to act as like a tryout for, I want to say, New Japan.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because they think that's going to, you know, that they're, it's like, oh, you guys are being cool, because it's a huge opportunity for him. It's very nice to see and potentially very exciting.
Yeah.
See Matt Riddle possibly go to New Japan.
That'd be cool.
That'd be fantastic.
Yeah. He's great.
Yeah. And especially because WWE has had their eye on him for a while now. That could cause them to say, oh, wait a second. Okay. You can smoke weed here.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. One more question.
All right. One more question.
What am I? Okay. Here we go. That was a good question. As good as any of them. The Elite Rainmaker. So I was wondering, after seeing another McIntyre squash match, I'd like to see him start up a meaningful feud soon. I like him and everything, but I'm starting to get that sense of he needs something meaningful. So who would you to like to see him feud with? Who do you want to see? Drew, he says McIntyre versus Aleister Black. I don't want to see that, because then somebody has to lose.
Yes.
Who would you want to see Drew McIntyre feud with?
Who's number two heel behind Bobby Roode?
I mean, at this point, maybe Hideo.
Yeah.
But I still feel like Hideo, they need to like really heal him up, because
I know.
He's just like still angry over the title loss. So
like he's still got this feud with Ono, and then maybe him and Roderick Strong would be a good feud. Hideo Itami.
Oh. I was going to say Drew McIntyre versus Roderick Strong. I know they're both faces. I get that. But they could, with those two, who seem to be very different characters.
Yeah.
They could probably put on some kind
of
interesting matches.
What about Drew and Eric Young?
Oh, that could be good. I forgot about Eric Young.
Yeah.
Ooh. What about Drew versus Damo?
Yeah, that'd be good too.
That'd be kind of cool. A couple of brutes. Where's Damo from? Is he
Ireland?
Oh, Ireland. Oh, wow. Irish versus Scottish.
Yep.
I don't know if there's a thing there. Anyways, is that it for the show?
That's it.
Nice. All right, cool. Anyways, want to say thanks for tuning in, everybody. And until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.